Hello friends, I am going to be discussing to you about the seven processes of scientific management, chapter number 4 of Principles of Management. As you see on the very first slide, there are seven different bubbles shown here. It starts from planning here, it goes to organizing, staffing, directing, coordinating, motivating, and finally controlling. And if you notice, it's a cyclical. Some seven processes we are going to be discussing, which are cyclical in nature. Most of you must have heard these words very often: planning, organizing, etc. Now we'll specifically come to know what we are doing in this, but let me remind you that the journey of these seven processes does not start, I repeat, it does not start unless and until you have set a SMART goal, because a SMART goal is the prerequisite for any management process to take it further. People plan without setting a proper SMART goal and they get into trouble. People organize without having a proper SMART goal, they get into trouble. So it's very important that we have to get into this only after we, I would like to put in the center somewhere here, that a reminder that have you set your SMART goal? Have you set your SMART goal? Because the SMART goal is the first important prerequisite, the requisite that's important for us to take it further. So without doing that, please do not embark upon this, because when you do that, you'll find that this is very easy to understand and also follow. So let me take you to the very first process called planning. Everybody's heard this word planning. It's all about doing something for the future. I'm preparing for the future, planning. Now ask yourself, how do you plan? Do you have something specific in mind when you plan? Very few people have it. Do we keep things open? Do we have alternate plans? Do we push and pull certain time frames? How does the brain operate? Do we respond to the situation around? There are many, many things that come when you do a planning. Planning for your career, planning to buy a home, planning to get married, planning to shift your job. So many things we come across, right? Now, watch yourself. If you have gone through the self-management, which I explained in chapter 1, if you have really gone through that, then you will be realizing how good a planner you are. You will be realizing whether you are doing it or not doing it. So let's get on with this. In planning, what is it? It's a primary function of any management process. Anything that I am doing in life, I need to plan first. Planning refers to deciding in advance what will be done in near future. I am deciding today what I need to do tomorrow, day after, 1 month from now, 1 year from now. That's planning, right? So planning, another definition which you can note down is, planning involves putting into a timeline a set of activities and resources, a set of activities and resources that are required to be deployed, that are needed to be deployed to fulfill a certain preset goal or objective. So planning is nothing but I am putting on a timeline activities, actions, methods and resources, the four M's: men, machine, materials and money. I am putting them on a timeline in such a way that I am able to achieve the preset goal or the objective. So which means I cannot start planning unless and until my goal is clear, and the goal should be SMART. Once I know the SMART goal, then I know what are resources I need, I know what activities I need to do, and those I start putting them on a timeline. I'll do this tomorrow, I'll do this day after tomorrow, I'll put this resource here, I'll buy this machinery, etc, 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 right? So that's taking it further. It's a constructive reviewing of future needs so that present actions can be adjusted in view of the established goals. Planning should take place before doing. Most individual or group efforts are made by determining before any operative action takes place. What shall be done? Where, how, and who shall do it? We have a very popular tool called 5W and 1H. Some of you must be knowing about it. You keep on asking questions before planning. The 5W means what, when, why, which and where. and the H is how. So you have a brainstorming in which you start asking questions with what. So everybody says, what should be the course of action? What should we do? What? Then we go to the next one and next one. So by doing this, we jot down a number of ideas, a number of solutions, a number of pathways which people will be articulating. When all these things are available, our planning becomes much more spread out. We have more options. Because when I do planning alone, I am limited to my thinking. But when two of us plan, it becomes better. Because you see things, you think about things which I do not think. And vice versa. So, before planning, it is important for us to do a exercise of brainstorming and then come to know how to go about do the best plan available. The best plan is not always by one person. It's a culmination. It's a combination of a number of people coming together. So that's where planning is a very open mind function. One has to be very open when one is doing planning. Organizations need people in the planning department or whatever the department is called as, who are very open to inputs. I cannot say that, you know, I've got 20 years of experience, I'm sitting in this particular department, I'm a very senior manager, and I've done it all, seen it all, so I'm a good planner. There are times when you get important, very, very important information from the shop floor, from the operations people. Now, if you don't involve them into the planning function, then you may miss out on very important aspect of a planning, which will create a trouble during the operations. So, one of the important human qualities in a planner should be, he must be open-minded. He must have the capacity to put things in the future on a timeline. He must be able to put a timetable pretty well. He must be able to identify what are the activities and the resources. And when, since he is an open-minded person, he will be in a position to ask questions like what, where, how, who, etc. So we need an open person. And a person who's looking at the end goal rather than the immediate small things. Right? Next we go. In the business world, the organization has to achieve the objectives and the goals. Obviously, we all know it. In order to achieve these objectives and goals, the organization plans what is to be done, when is it to be done, how is it to be done, and by whom it is to be done. These questions you have to keep on asking. To give you an example, production planning and control function is a very crucial function in a production unit. I've been a production engineer in my first job, and then I used to be a part of this production planning and control. What are we doing in a production planning and control? We are planning for the production. We are also ensuring that when things go haywire or things are not as per expectation, we try to put them in order. That's called as controlling. Right? Now, this is a very crucial function which essentially consists of what? Planning production in a manufacturing organization. We not only plan, we also ensure that the actions are in line with the plans. If the actions go haywire, we have to reset the course back into the expected path. We need to do that. So before actual production activities start, we do what is called as production planning and control. And even after the production starts, we are monitoring them whether they are going as per plans or not. We also take a feedback as to whether we need to make any corrections in the future plans. Are there some things which we have missed out? And trust me, believe me, when I was a production engineer, production planning and control person, every day I used to learn something new. Because I thought that I know production planning and control. I used to go to the shop floor, observe things, come back, I used to think I know everything, and yet every day a new surprise crops up. So this is a very exciting field for people who are into exploration and learning, because planning is all about future. And the future is not ours to say, as you say. I can't say what is going to happen tomorrow, but when there are too many heads coming together, the probability of something going wrong is less. That's where planning is a group activity. Okay? Organizing. Next comes a process called organizing. Once I plan, I get into the next process called organizing. What am I doing in organizing? As the name suggests, I organize things. I put them in a certain systematic matrix in a manner in which it is easy to identify, easy to remove, easy to use. I mean, all of us will agree that imagine a table which is disorganized, difficult to work, right? Of course, there are people who have got clarity here. But there may be chaos in the table. They still work. But for a universal working, which is, if I am not there, you have to come and work on my table, you must be able to get something which is predictably placed, correct? So organization means putting all the resources in a proper order, identifiable, the right quantity, the right amount at the right time. So if you take a table for that matter, I need to organize my table. Once I plan to do some, say, research work or writing a book, then I need to organize my table. And when I organize my table, I need to know where the laptop has to be kept, where should I keep my cell phone, where should I keep my bottle of water, and all those things, my pinups, you know, various pinups which I'm getting from different printouts, all those things, where do I need to keep? This is a part of organizing. Once the thing is organized, what happens to me? My mind starts thinking clear. So the right things in the right place. So I know for sure if I have planned and organized, I know that my laptop is on the left hand side. I know my cell phone is here. I know that so pinup is out here. These things are very easy. Now ask yourself a question. Is this how your table is? Are you able to predictably know where you is, what is kept where? Have you organized your table? In many cases, the answer is no. That itself speaks about the lack of self-management. If you know what is kept where predictably, and if you're physically not there and you phone up your friend from outside and you tell him, look, I go to the table on the left-hand corner, so-and-so thing is a red folder, is there, please remove it. Then you know with clarity what you've kept where. There are times when you want to get the red folder from the table and you cannot send anybody, because that anybody will not know where it is kept. Only you know where it is kept. That is not organizing. Organizing is outside, not only here. I know people who are geniuses. The table is a big clutter. It looks like a war zone. But you tell them to give any paper, they can pull it out and give you. But that's a zone where if this person is absent, nobody else can work there. That's not what we are talking about. When we talk about organization, we are talking about it's something in which any person can know what is lying where, when to use it, and how to put it into action for the goal, right? So let's see what it says. It can be defined as arranging the work, the processes, and the authority, resources, and employees in the right order so that all the organizational activities can take place in a defined and orderly manner. Okay? After planning is completed, we have to bring all the resources together in a certain format, which makes easy for us to take actions. Typically, organization as a topic in Principles of Management, you find any textbook, they talk about organization chart, which is nothing but the depiction of manpower working in the company. Let me remind you, organization is there for all the five resources: men, machine, materials, money, and methods. For men, we have got manpower resources, we got HR and human resources management separately. And for machines, we have got production planning and control or production management. For money, we have got financial management. For materials, we have got materials management. And for methods, we have got systems or operations management. So for each one of the five resources, we have got separate disciplines that teach us how to go about organizing those resources in a proper order, right? So what's really important is that when we put them in a certain format, it should be available to us. In most books on principles of management, they talk about organization as only manpower organization. It is implied by many people, the moment I study the chapter on organization, it's all about manpower planning, organization structure, tall structure, flat structure, etc., they'll say. That's not the only organization. You have to look at it from a broader perspective. I need to have organization of materials also. So those of you who studied materials planning, you'll come across ABC analysis, two bin method, etc., old methods. Those of you who have done financial organization, you know how money is organized into various forms, debt, equity, etc., etc. So I want students to extend their view not to organization as an organization chart alone of manpower, but also materials, machines, money, and methods. That's a broader way in which one has to look at it. That's a typical managerial outlook, which makes you do the work much more efficiently, right? As detailed earlier, there are four resources, namely men, machine, materials, and money, which have to be brought together in a proportion as per plan. I've already explained this to you. Now comes the next one, staffing. Staffing, as the name indicates, is all about staff. Staff means people. The people in the organization are called as the staff, right? Staffing is an important function of management that involves employing the right number of people at the right place with the right skills and the right abilities. The right person for the right job is what staffing is all about. Why is it more important? Most important because it's a living resource, you and me. Living resource are running organizations. They use, men use men, machine, materials and money and methods to get things done. Since they are living, they have a mind of their own, they think. And when they think, they create. They could also think in a negative direction and destroy. So this is a very important resource. This is the only resource which starts gaining appreciation with time. As people start working more and more years, they start adding value to themselves and to the organization. And much is expected from a person who's experienced than a person who's junior, right? So this is a very crucial thing, and it is so important. Organizations are literally grappling to get the right person for the right job in today's global fast working. Staffing has become a very crucial function, a crucial process, right? It also involves training and development. After I take people in the company, I have to train them for the skills required for the job, for the orientation of the company's promises made to the customers, and the person has to fit in. And training and development is not a one-time event, it's an ongoing process. If I've done a training today on some aspect, it doesn't mean that I know that totally, because people keep evolving. Newer needs come up, newer desires come up, newer demands come up. And when these things come up, it's important for the same person to go through training constantly. Training is a continuous process. Development is all about the human being and his qualities. Training is usually about the domain. If I'm a programmer, then a new language has come, programming language has come, I go for a training to upgrade my programming language. That's non-human. It's about domain. Development is what? It's basically to do with the individual, with me. I may have to develop in an area of leadership perhaps. So I go for a leadership development workshop. They call that also training. Okay? But actually it's a development. I am developing myself into a new behavior of a leader. Development takes a lot of time. Development is not one day. I don't go into a training room for 1 or 2 days or a week and come back and become a leader. No. Because behaviors take time to change. Okay? So we have training and development as one of the important processes for the staffing function. So I take the right person for the right job at the right time with the right quantity, and then I have to also train and develop them, right? So that the organizational objectives and goals can be achieved successfully. It comprises the activities of selection and placement of competent personnel. I do recruitment, selection, placement of people. I have to induct them, give them orientation, show them how the company culture works. All those things are a part of the staffing function. In addition to selection, training, development of personnel, it also comprises of promotion of the best people, retirement of old people, performance appraisal of all the personnel, and the adequate remuneration of personnel. All this is coming under one body of learning, one subject which we have separately, which is called as Human Resources Management, HRM. Remember, staffing is a very broad process in which HRM is one of it, right? So, taking it further, we go to the next process called the directing. There are two words, two processes which I am talking about right now. One is called a directing, which is vertical down. The other process is called as coordination, which is horizontally across. Directing is, it includes guidance, supervision and motivation of the employees. Directing is usually top down. Within a department, I direct people from top to bottom. Directing involves two things: giving instructions and orders. Order is not a negative word. Order is not done in a very authoritative manner. Order is basically a type of an instruction given so that the work is done. It's a reminder that this has to be done, right? So we have orders and instructions given in a directing process. Directing involves influencing, encouraging, counseling, mentoring and guiding the employees to work towards the accomplishment of organization objectives and goals. Communication and coordination are two important elements of the directing function. Directing is a vertical function, but the directing people have to also learn how to go and talk to other people in other departments. Many a time, you belong to a certain technical function. Let's say you're a programmer, and you rise to become a systems analyst and a program project manager, maybe a project director of an IT company's vertical function. You know only about yourself when you feel very great about it. But when it comes to knowing about other parts of the organization like finance, HR and all, you are a zero. Now such a person, do you think he'll rise to become the CEO? Sorry. Now if a person takes an initiative on his own to start networking with people from other departments, other verticals who are not his own people, then what happens is he starts developing, building a bridge with the other departments. What he does is he starts understanding how that department and his department, both of them, are working towards the common goals of the company. So I usually say this, directing is a imperative. Directing means that there's no escape for you, because by virtue of the position in the organization which you hold, you have to direct people. That's a managerial imperative. Whereas coordination is a choice. Coordination is a choice which you take. People who take the initiative of tearing themselves away from the box and going and talking to people who talk a different language altogether, they learn, they start developing beautiful networking skills, interpersonal skills. They become excellent in understanding other parts of the company as well. Suffice it to say, people who are very good coordinators turn out to be future leaders. Leadership is all encompassing. It's not about knowing one department and making a big hue and cry about it. It's about knowing the whole organization, working towards it, right? So communication refers to the verbal or the non-verbal interaction between the managers and the subordinates, part of directing. On the other hand, coordination is defined as an act of enabling different individuals to work for a common goal. Different individuals. When all the different individuals are brought together, there's a person who takes a coordination. He builds a bridge across all the verticals, all the different types of people who are from diverse backgrounds. An HR person, an operations person, somebody from finance, somebody from marketing, all of them come together. Each of them talk a different language. Language as in professional language, the language of their work, right? So you may not understand it because you're so much stuck up with your language of your work. A marketing person thinks only in terms of his clients, his customers, his products, his billing, right? So he's obsessed every time he talks about only that. And he goes and talks with the operation people. Operation says nothing doing. I'm only looking at my production and my quality. So they may go into loggerheads with each other if either of them or both of them don't make the effort to understand each other. Building this bridge between two dissimilar departments or dissimilar functions is essentially coordination. So it's a horizontal function, whereas directing is a vertical function, right? So taking it further, directing is a process of top-down approach, as I told you. It's a vertical process in which orders come from the top for the subordinates to follow. And when it comes to coordination, what is coordinating? Coordinating is a horizontal function, as I explained to you. It creates linkages between different verticals. In future, my dear friends, please use these terminologies in a proper manner. Every subject has got its subject terminology. We must use it properly. As a student of management, there should not be loose words being thrown out. Many people do this. I know people who say that within the team, I coordinated with the members. Team is your team. It's your all same. It's all sales guys. What coordination is there? Coordination technically happens when you're dealing with people who are dissimilar to you. You coordinate to get a function executed, a marriage function at your home. You coordinate with various people. You coordinate with the florist, you coordinate with the caterer, you coordinate with the photographer. That's coordination. And for that, you need different skills, right? So, coordination is a management of interdependence in work situations. We are interdependent. We are not independent. We are not dependent. We are interdependent. Now, the principle of interdependency says you have to be a good coordinator, right? It is an orderly synchronization of fitting together of the interdependent efforts of individuals. It should go like a nice, like a Mexican wave, as you call it, right? People have to be really smoothly coordinating with each other. It's like passing on the baton when they have a relay match. Imagine a relay match where one of the runners it doesn't believe in coordination. Will he be able to pass on the baton? No, he won't. In fact, he should not be in the race at all to begin with. Imagine a team. We see films like Chak De India. If the coordination was not there, you think they would have won the match? No. So it's all about a team effort. If a team has to come together and work, members of the team need to understand that coordination is an important management function. I direct vertically down and I coordinate horizontally across. Right? Now comes motivating, the most important part of human beings. In the organization where we are working, we normally go across. We are all human beings and we go through mood swings. The energy level which I have early morning, I may not have it in the afternoon. That's human. But organizations want us to give consistent output whole day. So to make that thing happen, they have to give us some sort of a booster so that we are willingly working. There should be something to motivate me away from the sluggish feeling I get after lunch so that I give the same output which I gave in the morning. This is basically the basis of motivation. Motivation is important because people are not self-motivated all the time and they are not consistent. Organizations need consistent output. Consistent output comes only through consistent motivation. And so keep people pushed up all the time, day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. We need to have this process in place, a very important backbone to motivation. We have a separate subject called organization behavior, which is dealing totally with motivation and other aspects of the human behavior, right? The workers expect favorable climate conditions to work, fair treatment, monetary and non-monetary incentives, effective communication and gentleman approach. I don't want to use the word gentleman, it's basically human approach. Okay, it means what? Let me explain. Human beings are not basically disciplined. Left to yourself, each one of you has a free spirit and you would like to do what you want to do given the choice and the freedom. You're listening to me right now. You will continue listening to me by giving away your freedom of doing something else, provided, underline provided, my lecture is useful to you at this point. So there is in a motivation, one has to understand price versus payoff. If the payoff of listening to my lecture is more, so you feel, then the price of giving away your freedom of not doing something else is very small. But if on the other hand, you find that you're given up something to listen to my lecture and you find that that is very important and you feel that what I'm talking is a waste, then immediately you'll switch off and go and attend that. So if you have to ask yourself a question, what is the price, what's the payoff? The moment a thing payoff is more than the price, you will feel like doing something because there's a motivation in you. And motivation is also connected to the basic needs of the person. There's a need for me to do this and so I'm willing to pay the price. Okay? So, next we talk about the objectives and goals are achieved only through motivation. Obviously, motivation includes increasing the speed of performance of a work and developing a willingness to on the part of the workers. Talking of motivation, motivation is a self-driven thing. We use a term very often, I motivated him. No, sorry. After learning management, don't use that word. You can create inspiring conditions. You can create conditions wherein the person feels influenced by your effervescence. And he may get motivated from within. Motivation comes from within. I must experience it and feel it within me. I can take the horse to the water. If the horse doesn't want to drink the water because it's not thirsty, then nothing can make him drink. So motivation is something that I cannot do on you. I can do one thing and I can stretch myself to do that thing. I can keep on creating influencing conditions so that the influence somewhere touches a soft spot in you and you feel wow about it. I think this makes sense to me. I think I should do this. Then you feel the experience of the motivation inside you. Otherwise, no. Okay? This is done by resourceful leader. Motivation to enable others to get motivated on their own. You need a leader who's got a very good energy level, who's very optimistic, who's got experience, who sees the world from a very positive angle. It's very important, right? Even when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. if a leader is seeing that the company has gone through a very bad phase, everybody's demotivated. Now, if he's a truly a good leader, he will turn the whole tide around by motivating people, making people looking at the sunny side, not at the dark clouds. Very important. Now we come to controlling. This is the last function in the last process in principles of management in the 7 processes. Controlling, as the name indicates, is all about ensuring that everything is properly on the track. The word controlling appears to be a little oppressive for people. Who are you to control me? Why should I get control? This is the inner talk that happens to people because we are born free. Basically, human spirit is very free. So controlling is contrary to the human spirit. Having said that, I am willing to get controlled provided, underline, there is something in return for me. Again, motivation comes in. So I am willing to sit late in the office beyond 5:30, the prescribed time of leaving the office, provided I am getting some benefit, a promotion, an increment, some travel allowance, whatever. So controlling is important and it's an essential part of every management function. What you plan, you have to control. And what you're controlling is an outcome of the planning. So we say that planning and controlling are two sides of the same coin. Planning and controlling are two sides of the same coin. When you plan, automatically control systems are created. Now, there are very peculiar situations where people try to control something which they have not planned. Organizations are guilty of doing this. You know, they control things about which they have no clue about anything that they've done before. They control just for the sake of controlling. It is more of a human control rather than a process control. So controlling cannot become an oppressive thing. Controlling should come willingly. If I'm self-disciplined, I'm controlling my activities and my thinking so that I am able to achieve my preset goals. So controlling is a function through which the actual and the desired output is measured. During the planning, I have a desired output which I create. I want to achieve 100 units in the planning stage. The actions have taken place and I got a result. The 100 has been seen to be as 80 when the actual performance took place. Shortfall of 20. So when the shortfall of 20 comes, what do? I ask a question, what has gone wrong? Why am I falling short of 20? I probe into the gap. The gap is negative. And then I ask questions, I analyze, what are the reasons why this has happened? After I get the reasons, I put it into corrective action. Thereby, I reduce the gap, if not make it zero. This corrective action, when I take, I give a feedback to the starting point of the planning, wherein the planning is made for 100 units. So controlling is a constant cyclical function which goes back to planning. Right? So what are we doing here? If the actual output differs from the desired output, the deviations are altogether removed or minimized. The main steps in controlling function, establishing performance standards. I set the standard. I give you this example now. Measuring actual performance, determining the gap between the set standards and the achieved performance, taking corrective measures. These are the steps. Very simple steps, easy to follow. Okay? And now, having said that, my dear friends, I conclude this session to remind you that please be aware to set a goal which is SMART compliant. To set a goal that is SMART compliant, you must have a self-discipline of a person who has used these management thinking into your action. Having set the goal, you have to go through the 7 processes which I have just explained to you. Good luck, all the best.